we've been looking at the opening verses of John's gospel, and then last week in Mark's gospel, the baptism of Jesus. And this theme in John's gospel in particular, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So to receive him means to believe the things that scripture says about him. And at his baptism, we heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And so part of this life that Jesus came to give is that we might experience the Father's pleasure and live there forever. And so from today's text, another reason Jesus came is that we might have Jesus as our true and faithful priest. From the passage that Matt just read, at the very end, verse 51, Jesus is telling Nathanael, "Truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man," which may take you back to Genesis 28. If you remember Jacob, when he had deceived his brother Esau, he was on the run for his life. And so he was leaving to go to his mother's brother's place. And as he was on the way, he stopped to rest. This is what the scripture says. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." I remember a couple of years ago reading that passage, and we were putting the boys to sleep. And so the boys have got bunk beds. Judah's on the bottom, Andrew's in the middle, Isaac's on top. I don't know what we'll do with David when he gets bigger, but we'll have to find another spot to put him. But Judah was asking the question, okay, there's this ladder, and it reaches up to heaven, and he's seen ladders, he knows how they work, and he asked the question, well, what was the ladder, what was holding the ladder? Or who was holding the ladder? So we'll come back to that question, but just to know, so there's this ladder to heaven, angels ascending and descending on it. Who's holding the ladder? But Nathanael's story, we see that he is sitting under a tree. And that was sometimes used to describe, he may have been just sitting under a tree, but it also was a phrase that meant meditation or studying scripture. Sometimes people would be sitting under a tree, and that's the term that is used of him here. And imagine when Philip came to him, they had been longing for the Messiah, the promised one from God. And his generation had been looking for that one, and his fathers had looked for that. And going back generation and generation, they had been waiting for this one who would come, a Messiah, one who could reconcile them to God. And so we talk about Jesus being a true and faithful priest. Well, you know, what is a priest? We may have different ideas tied to that term, but a priest was one in Israel that would offer sacrifices and present the people to God to reconcile them to God. They would present sacrifices as well as gifts and reconcile them to a holy God. Now, so we'll leave Nathanael for a minute and go back to Samuel, the passage that Elizabeth read for us. And Samuel had a pretty tough assignment when you think about it. If you ever are called to be a prophet, that's a tough day when the Lord calls one to be a prophet. And the very first message that he gets from the Lord is a very personal message that he has to deliver to Eli. You know, this is not some word that he needs to go to declare to the Edomites. or to the nations. You know, that's a little less personal. But it's to the guy in the other room who he's been living with and who's been a mentor to him, who's been a father figure to him. And so the first word that he ever hears from the Lord is calling out Eli specifically. And so he's got to wake up the next morning. He doesn't have to wake up. He stays awake all night. It says that he lay there until morning because he knows how difficult this is going to be. And he has to tell his father figure, Eli, that his sons are all about to die because his family is being called out over the iniquity that Eli knew, and he did not restrain his sons. So what about Eli's sons? Well, you have to go back a chapter, to chapter 2. Eli's sons are described as worthless. They're priests, but it says a few things about them in chapter 2 of note. They did not know the Lord. Here they are serving in the tent of meeting, and they did not know the Lord. What's more, they treated with contempt the offerings that people brought. People, the way that it would happen, the priests were supposed to put the meat of the animals into a pot, and that was their portion, part of their livelihood, how they were fed. But they were just supposed to stick a fork into the pot, and whatever came out, that was what they were to eat. But we know that Eli's sons, instead, they were looking at the animal and deciding, oh, that's the choice cut. I want that right there. And even the people said, this isn't right. But they forced them. And so they were fattening themselves on the sacrifices to God. These things that were to represent transferring our sins to an animal who bears our sin. And they're using that to fatten themselves. And so they are, Eli himself is, you know, overweight, we see later. So they're getting fat off these choice cuts. It says that they lay with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and they did not listen to the voice of their father. That's just a few things about Eli's sons who are described as worthless men who were to be priests. So then in chapter 2, a man from God is sent to Eli, and he rebukes him, and he says, you honor your sons above me by fattening yourself on the choice parts of the offering. And so the problem with these priests who were to represent and reconcile people to God is they were too much like the people and not enough like the God that they're supposed to reconcile the people to. They were not holy and set apart. They were sinful and selfish and doing all these things. And so this man from God who came to Eli told him, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. And then he prophesies, he predicts, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. So God's not rejecting the priesthood. He's just rejecting Eli and his sons. And so he says that he will raise up a faithful priest. And we see that gets partly fulfilled in Samuel. He's a godly young man. We read this about him. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. And then ultimately that's fulfilled in Jesus, the true and faithful priest. Luke writes this in chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. That's no accident. Luke's readers would have, this Samuel, this is the faithful priest that we were looking for, the faithful and true priest who goes in and out. He does according to all that is in my heart and mind. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He is the true and faithful priest. Now think for just a minute about Samuel, what it was like living there, ministering in the presence of God. You know, was he conflicted when he saw Eli and his sons, thinking this is not how things were meant to be? Well, if he had that doubt, then the word that the Lord gave to him that night made it perfectly clear. The Lord knew, and he would not allow the wicked to continue. And if you think about this also, the very fact that Samuel was there was by God's orchestration. If you go back to his mother, who was struggling with infertility, all those events, because of that, she said, Lord, if you would give me a son, I would dedicate him all of his days to your service. So the way that God even brought Samuel into his service was through the infertility of his mother. God's lining up these pieces in ways that, Hannah, his mother, could not have predicted. And this is maybe a side point, but, nevertheless, sometimes we're facing issues and they don't make sense, but God's moving pieces and orchestrating things for purposes we don't even know about. And these struggles, they're not wasted. God is doing something and achieving his good purposes. He was positioning Samuel to be in his house, in his service, to even rebuke Eli, and then later to serve and anoint the first kings of Israel. But even as a child, we read that Samuel rendered right service to God when the priests did not. So when it seems that the wicked thrive, and it's Psalm 37, fret not, because the Lord will fulfill his purposes. And so a few things we know about Samuel. He was obedient. When he heard who he thought was Eli calling to him, he ran quickly. So he was obedient. And we also see that he did not yet know the Lord. It had to be a work of God to reveal his word to him. So even in his presence, he did not yet know the Lord. It was a work of God to open his eyes, open his ears, to be able to know the Lord. And he was faithful to the work that God gave him. That first message had to be one of the hardest ones he ever had to give to Eli. And then other messages throughout his life. We read that Samuel grew, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. So that's Samuel. God has raised up a faithful priest there. But now back to Nathanael, back in John 1. When Nathanael comes, after Philip calls him, he commends him and says, "Now here is a true Israelite. There's no guile in him." He's not coy. And he's asking the question, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And he's surprised by the fact that Jesus knew that he was underneath the fig tree. And when he did that, he said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" And there's that key term that John uses 98 times in his gospel, believe, as an action. It's a movement of the heart. "Because of this, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Now, the fact that he believes is significant. The way that he came to believe was he accepted Philip's invitation to come and see for himself. And so then Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In that passage we read from Genesis, Jacob was fleeing from his brother, and he says, "This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven," after he saw that ladder. And so he ties that gate to a place, because of Bethel, the house of God. But here, Jesus says that that ladder is actually a person. He says, "You'll see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so this priest makes sacrifices for the people, represents them before a holy God. A priest brings the blessing of God to the people. He's the earthly link between heaven and earth. And Jesus says, "This ladder that you're going to see, you'll see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So not a place, but a person that is the link. And we know that the blood of bulls and goats could never ultimately cleanse the conscience of worshipers, because those who put their hands on the goat or whatever animal, they knew that as it died in their place, they knew they still deserved death. And the book of Hebrews is so rich in explaining what the priesthood and our high priest, who was like us in every way yet without sin, so he is able to be our high priest forever. He lives in a true place, not just the copy of the most holy place, but he has entered there, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood once for all. And so, back to this text, though, it's possible that Nathanael, when he was under the fig tree meditating, he might have been thinking about this passage in Genesis. And maybe that's why Jesus brought it up to him. We don't know. Either way, it's evident that Jesus is making clear, I am that link between heaven and earth. I am the priest. I'm the one who can take you to God. I'm the one who can connect you to the Father. I'm the bridge. I'm the connection. I am the true priest who can reconcile you to God. And then there's one other picture from John's gospel that is worth looking at. It's in the two chapters later. There's a religious man, and he's looking all around for the answer. What must we do to have eternal life? His name's Nicodemus. And he wants to know how to see the kingdom of God. And he's a little bit like Eli's sons in that he's a professional religious person. He's a Pharisee, but he's actually sincere in seeking the kingdom of God. He just didn't know where to look. And then Jesus, in this conversation with him about you must be born again, and he's asking, how is that possible? He's like, you're a teacher. You should know these things. And then at the end of their conversation, he tells Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So here again, Jesus has got one of these seemingly obscure Old Testament references. What is he doing with that? That happened in Numbers 21. The people of Israel, as they're in the wilderness, they're complaining against Moses and the Lord, and God sent fiery serpents among them to bite the people, and some people were dying. And then the people repented. And God told, they asked Moses to pray. And Moses was instructed to make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the serpent and live. That's it. Look. Simply look at the serpent and they would live. This is what Jesus is telling to Nicodemus. He's like, you're looking all over, and I'm telling you, if you want to live, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, then the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, whoever looks to him, may have eternal life. So Nicodemus, a religious man, but he doesn't know the Lord. He's looking all around. He need only look at the Son of Man who would be lifted up, the sacrifice for them. So for the people of Israel, bitten by snakes, they're about to die. All they have to do is look at the snake lifted up, and they would live. Or as John begins his gospel, those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who would look to him. And there's one other place this morning in our text, 1 Corinthians 6, that Elizabeth read. We read in very black ink on white paper, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Eli's sons would not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who continue in sexual immorality, idolaters, adulterers. Corinthians gives other lists. Those who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. Those who continue in these things in an ongoing active lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were washed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. How? By looking on the one who is raised up. Jesus, that faithful high priest, can take those even in whatever categories we found ourselves in, and through his perfect sacrifice, reconcile those to a holy God so that they can come into his presence and be with him and enjoy his delight forever. So how did Nathan come to Nathanael? Shortening his name. Short of calling Nate. Nathan, Nathanael. How did Nathanael come to know Jesus? He accepted that invitation. Come and see for yourself. So for you this morning, come and see for yourself if he is not the latter, the true and faithful high priest who can reconcile us to God. Whatever issues it is that we have, whatever sin, he is the sacrifice for us that is sufficient to bring us into the presence of a holy God. And I appreciate about Nathaniel, he didn't just take Philip's word for it. He came and wanted to see for himself. And now we have faithful teachers and those who are reliable, and their testimonies are important. But for you to know for yourself, like Nathaniel, come and see if he is not, in fact, that latter, that true and faithful priest who makes it possible for us to be with God without fear, without shame, without expectation of it being cast out. So back to Judah's question. Who's holding the ladder? We were sitting there. I remember just a nightlight in the room, and such a good question to ponder. What was holding the ladder? And maybe not in that moment, but continuing to reflect on it. Well, God the Father is holding the ladder. A text last week in Isaiah, behold my servant whom I uphold. And the ladder is the Son. The Father sends the ladder because he wants his people to be with him. He longs to be with us. And he has made a way through his Son, the true and faithful high priest who does all that it is that is in his mind and all that is in his heart. So how can we approach the ladder? Like Nicodemus, we look to him. We look to the one who is lifted up for us. And we trust in him. Every week we say, feed on him in your hearts by faith. This is what it means to believe in him, to look to him and to trust that he is the one that the Father has sent. He is holding the ladder. He is upholding the ladder who is his Son, his faithful high priest who came for us. And so we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.